Gino, a man has been convicted of stealing a convenience store truck and crashing into a local brewery to grab some beer. A jury came back with a verdict yesterday afternoon in the case of 54-year-old Michael Ray. He was accused of first-degree vehicle theft, second-degree burglary, third-degree theft, and third-degree criminal mischief in connection with last April's incident at Alaskan Brewing Company. The vehicle was a box or cube van taken from the Lemon Creek Breeze Inn and run into the front door of the brewery's tasting room and gift shop. A bumper was left behind. Several six-packs, a case, and two five-gallon kegs of beer were taken from the shop. After deliberating for 13 hours over 2 days, jurors returned yesterday afternoon with a guilty verdict on all four charges. Just before reaching a verdict, the eight-woman, four-man jury sent out a pair of notes that seemed to ask if they could reach a unanimous verdict on some counts and remain undecided on others. Trial started last Monday with jury selection. Ray's sentencing will be March 28th. Court officers around Southeast are mourning the passing of Sitka Magistrate Bruce Horton. He was killed over the weekend during an accident at home. Area Court Administrator Neil Neesham says Horton was appointed to the bench in 1990. Horton was named to the role of training judge for Southeast Alaska 4 years later.
And that's an extremely high honor, especially for someone who is a magistrate. That means that the quality and care of judicial skills are put into his hands. And he was the one responsible for training all new magistrates and deputy magistrates.
Neesham estimates that Horton trained between 25 and 30 people.
Everybody who went to Sitka, and that's where we sent everybody, would spend an entire week of intense training with him. And he wouldn't leave unless he was absolutely confident that they could go back to their home courts and do the job that they were hired to do.
Magistrates cover a wide range of cases, from child proceedings, small claims, arraignments, and felony first appearances. Details of the Friday accident are still a little unclear. Horton was believed to be in the attic of his home checking on water pipes or water damage when he fell through the ceiling sheetrock and landed on the floor below. The 62-year-old Horton leaves behind a wife and two sons, one who lives in the Sitka area and another who's attending college in Northern California. Services are planned for this weekend at Centennial Hall in Sitka. Other magistrates are being scheduled to help cover the caseload in Sitka. Roughly 1,700 Juneau customers were without power for a few hours yesterday morning as several feeders went offline. Deb Ferreira of Alaska Electric Light and Power says the cause was a malfunction of a monitoring device or meter in Auk Bay. A total of six feeders in the Auk Bay and Lena Loop area powered down just before 7 o'clock yesterday morning. Most of the power was restored about 9:15 yesterday. The last feeder to come back up was for Auk Bay and the University of Alaska Southeast. Because of some undetermined malfunction on that feeder, power was not restored for those 500 customers until about 10 o'clock. In legislative news, a bill giving state money to private and religious schools ran into opposition yesterday before the House Education Committee. The bill sets up a mechanism providing state scholarships to private school students. Dave Donaldson has more.
The basic requirement the bill sets up for the payment is that the school agrees to meet specific standards and that the student's parents request the money be paid to the school. It's worth as much as the basic student allocation, although it could be limited by the overall size of any special legislative appropriation to pay for it. The state constitution prohibits what the bill would allow, but the plan's sponsor, Wasilla Republican Wes Keller, has introduced a constitutional amendment repealing that provision. That's in a resolution now pending in the House Finance Committee. The bill was heard by the Education Committee four times last year. However, based on some negative feedback then, it's been substantially changed, as Keller explained. He told the committee that all the changes and the questions come down to the basic issue he wants to focus on.
It's about choice. You know, it's about should or should not, in Alaska, parents have the choice to send their children to a private school. It's as simple as that.
The members of the Education Committee had other concerns for Keller. For example, is it discriminatory against any student with special needs? Anchorage Democrat Sharon Cisna said it would seem a private school might choose not to accept a special needs student for whom the school would have to provide special services.
It's not public school, but does that mean the public doesn't have a fair chance?
Keller said that was a valid question, and he asked that it be held for further discussion. Other opposition is more specific about the effects of the law, however. Jeffrey Mittman, the executive director of the Alaska ACLU, said about three-quarters of the private schools in the state are also religious schools, and that puts them under a different federal standard than public schools.
The Supreme Court of the United States ruled just last week that private religious schools are, to a significant extent, exempt from the Americans with Disabilities Act. So it could very well be that through this bill, there could be Alaska state funding of a school legally entitled to discriminate on the basis of disabilities.
Bittman also told the committee that even if voters approve Keller's constitutional amendment, it could entangle the state in religious issues over public funding and public limitations. That was echoed by Steve Evanson of the Northwest Religious Liberty Association. While neither is supporting nor opposing the bill, Evanson warned that the independent religious mission of church schools could become vulnerable to government through regulation.
Such as determining what can and cannot be taught, and during a financial crunch, cause the crippling and shutdown of said schools due to the sweeping withdrawal of such voucher-based financial support.
Committee Chairman Alan Dick originally planned to move the bill from committee, but after 2 hours of debate, decided to hold it until Friday's meeting. I'm Dave Donaldson in Juneau.
The price of Brent crude oil is $110.10 a barrel this morning. West Texas Intermediate crude is at $99.20 a barrel. Precious metals are down. Base metals are up. Gold currently at $1,665 an ounce. Lead just a skosh over a buck a pound this morning. Construction of a new facility to house the State Division of Libraries, Archives, and Museums in Juneau is on track to get underway in earnest this summer. A ceremonial groundbreaking for the so-called SLAM project was held last October in front of the State Museum, as work had already started on the lot behind it. Architect Brian Messner with the Anchorage-based firm ECI Hire says the design team sees a $20 million appropriation in Governor Parnell's proposed capital budget as a green light to start actual construction this year.
This is the current plan, get in the ground this summer and be done by the end of 14, so moving in 2015. It may adjust if the funding comes on a different plan. That's yet to be seen, but we're feeling very good about it.
Total cost for the project is estimated at more than $120 million, of which $32.5 million is already on hand. PCL Construction Services has been chosen as general contractor. Meisner says the first order of business is to build a vault to house some of the museum pieces during construction.
Basically, what we're doing is we're building a temporary storage for the artifacts, not for people, and then we're going to build the rest.
The State Museum will be closed in 2013 and 2014 while the SLAM facility is under construction. During that time, museum curator Bob Banghart says they hope to set up temporary exhibits in Centennial Hall for visitors in Juneau and to expand services to other facilities around the state.
We dedicate a good portion of staff time in supporting other institutions around the state with expertise. It's not just servicing them with exhibitions. It's everything to do with museology, library development, archival assistance, etc. So those are manpower issues. We can send people. We'll still maintain the communications there. We won't lose that.
Banghart says he's a little concerned about the museum losing cruise ship visitors during the closure, but he says tourism companies have told him they're excited about the new facility.
We're very interested in ratcheting up marketing of our institution to their clients, which means I think we'll see an increase.
The 118,000-square-foot SLAM building will double the amount of space currently used to house the State Division of Libraries, Archives, and Museums. Meisner and Banghart updated the CBJ Assembly on the project's progress at last night's Committee of the Whole meeting.